I'll make you do some work tonight, be in a lot of places, but let's go to Proverbs 27 to start. Proverbs chapter 27. If you're here Sunday night, I won't go into detail, but Pastor was talking about us being ready as a church in a physical protective sense, and at the school that Sherry and I work at, great measures have been taken to make sure that we are physically ready if there was any sort of physical threat to our school. Chris could probably say the same about her school, and we do all these drills that are sometimes annoying so that we are ready. But the reason why you do the drill is so that in case something actually happened, you are prepared and you respond in the right way, in a manner that actually keeps you as safe as possible. So, the greatest things that you could be ready for, we are going to talk about tonight. And they're all spiritual. They all have to do with spiritual things. So, Proverbs 27. And let's read the first verse here. Here's what it says. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Okay, today's July the 20th, 2022. It's about 7:23 p.m. on my tablet here. What are you going to be doing on July the 21st at 7:23 p.m.? Do you know? You could probably say, I have an idea. Maybe you have something planned, right? But do you really know? You always have to be ready. You always have to expect the unexpected when it comes to certain areas. Let me take you back in time to, let's go to January of 2020. If you remember back in January of 2020, that's when probably December of 2019, but then really in January, that's when you first started to hear a lot on the news about coronavirus. That's what they actually called it first, if you remember that. Yeah. And then it changed. They changed the name to COVID. Then COVID-19 or somehow like that. And I remember in January being at school telling the kids. I said something like this to the kids. I said, I have seen these things like this come and go, and we have nothing to fear. If you remember the swine flu back many years ago, the media made that out to be, oh, it's going to be terrible. And then it just blew over and nothing really happened. And I thought this will be the same. And you folks have been around a while. I've seen lots with the news trumping things up to where it's going to be awful. And it turns out it's not. So I really thought back in January, February, same thing. I really thought that. Then March rolls around. March 2020. And you remember it's about middle of March. That's the time they shut everything down. And I remember we were at Sherry's sister's house. Her parents were in town. We're all sitting on the couch and happened to turn the TV on. And they listed one thing after another that was closing down. The National Basketball Association closed down. All these businesses closed down. We're talking about major corporations just shut down. And at that point, I said, something is not right here. I don't know if you did, but I thought, this is strange for all of these major billion-dollar corporations to say, we're just going to call it quits for a while? I thought, something's going on. And 2 years later, I still think something's going on. I can't put my finger on it exactly, but I got some inclinations. But I don't know if I was actually ready for something like that to happen. I don't know if anybody was. With things changing, now, I know it wasn't a drastic change of our lifestyle. It really wasn't. Folks had to work from home. We did school at home. Sherry has nightmares about having to do that again. She hated it so bad. She likes being in person with the kids. I didn't mind it. There were some things I kind of liked about it and some things I didn't like about it, but I don't really want to go back to that. But I bring that up 2 years ago because we always think we know what's coming, or we actually like to convince ourselves that we know what's ahead and what's coming, but we haven't got the foggiest idea what's really ahead, do we? Do you realize, after March of 2020, you ought to realize this by now, do you realize by, say, Friday night of this week, this nation could be a completely different nation? 48 hours from now, things could change so drastically. You could have a nuclear war. You could have all kinds of things happen. And we have to be ready to a certain extent for some things. So I want you to get you thinking about just being ready. I don't know how many of you have, and you need to tell me, but I don't know if you have food stored up in case you couldn't go to the grocery store and buy anything. You ever think about that? Probably not a bad idea to have a little bit of food that would last a while and some water. Got to have some water that would last you a while. But it's not a bad idea to be ready for something like that. With living in Florida, we're always ready for hurricanes, so you probably have a little bit of that, or you ought to. But let's talk about being ready for some spiritual things. So first thing here in that verse we read, it says, "Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth," and that is so true. So since we don't know what's coming, we need to be ready. I'm going to give you three things to be ready for. So here's the first one. The first one will be probably, depending on where you are with things, probably be a little nicer than the next two, or a little more friendly than the next two. But we'll see. Let's go over to the New Testament. Go to Mark chapter 14. So I started each of these with "get ready," and that's the name of the message. Get ready. So Mark chapter 14, go down there to verse 38. And this is the account of Jesus. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples are with him. And he says, "Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." And what did those disciples do? What did he find them doing after he said that? They're asleep. Isn't that something? You really think about that particular moment in history. The Lord Jesus Christ will be crucified in a few hours. And he says, "Watch and pray." They're right there with him. And they go to sleep. So he says something very interesting, and us, we're inclined to do the same. Whenever it comes down to something really important to pray for, real easy, especially if it's late at night, just to fall asleep while you're praying. Look at verse 38. Look what he says here. 14:38. "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is what? Is ready, but the flesh is weak." So I started here with this first point. Here's the first point. Get ready to be used by God. Shouldn't we always be ready for God to use us in any situation? What do you think? That's easier said than done. Yeah, everybody should say yes to that. We should be ready. Easier said than done. And that verse, actually, I started here because it tells us why. That verse there says, the second half, the Spirit truly is what? Is ready. But then it says, but the flesh is, why don't you make preparations spiritually? Why don't I make preparations spiritually like we should? What do you think? We carry around this stuff called flesh. And there's a battle going on. A battle going on inside of you between flesh and spirit is a really good inclination, a really good convincing proof that you're saved. That's a normal thing. But it's interesting that he tells you there, the Spirit is ready. But then you got that flesh. So what do? If you want to be used by God, you want to be ready to use by God, what do you have to do with that flesh? I'm not going to go through this tonight, but what did Paul tell us that we have to do with that flesh? Not Paul Del Monte, the Apostle Paul. What did he say we have to do with that flesh? You got to crucify that flesh. You got to reckon your flesh to be dead, because it is. It's not getting any better. I know we dressed it up. Been really working out hard this week on the exercise, and I could do all I want on that end, and it just still doesn't improve really that much. And the more exercise now at my age, the more exercise I do, guess what happens now? The sore I get. Didn't happen a few years ago. So it's here you try to make yourself look a little better, and there's always this battle you're facing because of the flesh. So Acts chapter 17. Some things about being ready to be used by God. First thing, be ready to put that flesh down, because that Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, wants to greatly use us, but we got to crucify that flesh in order to do so. So we won't be used by God unless we allow the Spirit to work. Now watch this thing. This is really neat. Acts 17, look at verse 10. Again, a lot about Paul here and where he's going, what he's doing in Acts. Verse 10 of Acts 17. "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so." I'd say that's a really neat passage here where it says, they receive the word with all readiness of mind. Let me hit that first. Readiness of mind. Do you know that to study your Scriptures, personally, this is my opinion, I don't have an exact verse to say this, but I could probably put some verses together that would help you with saying this is biblical. But I believe that studying, reading, studying, and meditating on the Scriptures, God's words, I think that it's the greatest exercise that the mind could ever have. That's what I think. I really believe that. What better material for you to read, study, and meditate to get your mind, first of all, engaged in something on the written page? Second of all, getting your mind engaged on what you ought to be doing for God. What do you think? The way to activate your mind and get your mind right is to get into the Scriptures. Now watch what it says here. They received the word with all readiness of mind. So there was a preparation there. Preparing the mind to receive God's word. By the way, let me ask you. How would you prepare your mind to receive God's word? If they, with readiness of mind, received it, what might you do? What might all of us do to prepare our minds to hear and receive God's word? What do you think? I think there's the great place to start. Pray and ask God to open up your heart and mind to receive His word. We always do the invitation at the end of the service, don't we? Maybe we should start off with an invitation and say, if you really want to hear from the Lord and you want to have a ready mind and a heart that's inclined to do what the Lord wants you to do, we should have a little invitation. Come down here in the front and pray. Maybe we should do that sometime. But the idea there is, and that's not that we have to come down here necessarily, but the idea there is you ought to come to church, or if you're at home opening your Bible yourself, doing some study, you ought to ask the Lord to get your mind in the right place, ready to receive His Word. You think? That'd be a good idea. First thing you ought to do anytime you open the Bible, and I know in the morning sometimes I'm still a little groggy, the caffeine hadn't been activated yet, but first thing, before I get in the Bible, I always want to plow through. And I sometimes am guilty of doing that. Just start, boom, plow, read. And the Lord oftentimes says, hey, why don't you take some time to ask me for some help before you plow through there? Because He's the one that's going to open my mind so that I am ready to receive the Scripture. So a good idea to start with prayer whenever you get into the Bible. Okay, let's go over to, before we leave, look at the rest of that. I didn't finish. They received the word with all readiness of mind, and then what did they do? They searched the Scriptures. And I mentioned this verse a couple weeks ago in a message, but these people were so serious about their Bible and learning and knowing their Bible, they looked in the Scriptures to see if Paul was telling the truth. And I say this, and Pastor says this often, you ought to be in the habit of looking at the Scriptures to check to see if the preacher's telling you the truth. Amen? This is the litmus test. The person in the pulpit is not. The Bible is. So you can always check. God gave you a Bible so you can do that. So, are you ready? Do you have a ready mind to search the Scriptures? You ought to get a ready mind to have the Scriptures enter into your heart and mind. There's the first thing about being used by God. Go over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Being used by God, you're going to have to put down that flesh. To be used by God, you're going to have a ready mind and get into the Scriptures. God can teach you some things. Look at this one, Romans 1, and look at verse 15. Romans 1, verse 15. Paul again says, so, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now, read verse 16 in a minute. But the next part of being ready is be ready to give out the gospel. He says, preach the gospel. Be ready to do that. When should you be ready to preach the gospel? And you don't, by the way, have to have a, like we do sometimes on the street corner, you don't have to have a bullhorn or a loud voice to preach the gospel. Did you know that it can be a one-on-one conversation? It can be. And you always ought to be ready when God sends somebody across your path to give them the gospel. If the Lord opens that door to do so, and a good thing to do is pray before you really get into the conversation, and you pray without saying it out loud. You can just ask the Lord real quick to help you open up a door there in that conversation for you to give them the gospel. So what is the greatest gift that you could give somebody? What do you think? $100? $1,000? That'd be nice. But there's something that actually lasts forever. $100, $1,000, man, you know how that goes. It goes quick, especially with our current economy. But you have the opportunity to give people something that a million years from now, they still got it. You ever think about that? They still got it. If you give them the gospel and they get saved, nobody can ever take that away from them. And that's the greatest thing you could do, is to tell them. So, next verse. Look what Paul says here. He says he's ready to preach in verse 15, give out the gospel. And then in verse 16, and man, I tell you, this nails me every time I read it. For I am not what? Ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the same gospel he said he preaches in verse 15. He's ready to preach. He says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Who's the gospel for, folks? What's that verse say? Who's it for? It's for everybody. And he says there, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I know you can't make people believe it, but God wants it to go to everybody, because everybody who believes it will be saved. Doesn't matter about, notice it mentions Jew, Greek. Doesn't matter about their background as far as where they're from, where they came from. It's a matter of what will they do with what God has given them, what God gives you to give to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I will tell you, while you're, I'm telling you this, go to 1 Peter 3. I will tell you that, I know many of you here have been around a lot longer than I have, but in my years, I can only remember one time where anybody came to me and said, hey, would you please tell me what you believe about God? What happened to me one time? I'll tell you about that here in a second. But before I tell you, this is one time out of a lot of years where somebody came to me. And why do I tell you this? Because guess what we're going to have to do, folks? We're going to have to go to them. And we're going to have to start the conversation that we may not be comfortable starting, but needs to happen. And I know it may not always be the first time you meet somebody, you get into what the Bible says and all that, but you ought to ask the Lord to give you an opening so you can somewhere down the road. Because you don't know what's going to happen to them. They don't know what's going to happen to them. So, one time this happened to me. It was actually at the camp I was at just a few weeks ago, and this was back, I'm going to guess on the year, probably 2007 or 8. And one of the fellows who had been there a long time, he actually started working there just a little bit before me. We're probably around the same age. And he comes to me, and he wanted me to sit down. We sat down on a bench. I could take you to the exact place we sat there at camp. Sat down on the bench, and he says, hey, I want you to tell me what you believe. And I can't remember all the exact words that were exchanged, but I remember asking him, well, specifically, are you talking about God? And he said, yes. So I had the incredible opportunity, and this is the only time I can remember where somebody came to me. So if somebody comes to you, folks, you ought to really be ready. If they're asking you the questions, I mean, that's some fertile ground already, correct? So you ought to be ready to give them the truth. So we sat down and we didn't talk for a long, long time, because it doesn't really take a long, long time to go through the gospel. Now, we spent probably 10 minutes at that point in time, and we might have spent a little bit more time later. But here's what had happened to that fellow, and I was able to walk him through just the gospel very simply. If I remember right with him, I kind of started with Adam and why people die. And we talked about that, and there's a reason why I did that. And then we got over to Jesus Christ and why he died, and the fact that he rose again, and he's there to save anybody who will believe on him. So I went through that, and here's why I started with death whenever we first started talking. I knew when he came to me that he had just in the last week had two family members pass away. So death was on his mind. And these family members who passed away that he was close to, he probably had the thought, what happened to them? Where did they end up? So he did not get saved right then. But Sherry and I kept in contact with him. And then I remember talking to him several months later. It was during the off season, during school. And he had gotten saved. And pretty awesome. Name's Ben. I got to see him here just a few weeks ago, very briefly. He wasn't around for much of the time that I was there, but I got to see him a little bit. But that's the only time I can remember where somebody came to me. I tell you that because people most likely are not coming to you and asking you those questions. But if they do, should you be ready? You better believe it. So I thank the Lord that I actually had a place to go in the Scriptures and show him just exactly what he was asking me. So go to 1 Peter 3 and go down to verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. How often? Well, that's a good word that the Lord put in there to remind us. Always. Ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's a powerful verse right there, reminding all of us that we need to be ready to give answers and give Bible answers when people ask you questions. And in that particular moment with that fellow Ben, that again, that doesn't happen very often, but I just thank the Lord that I had somewhere in the Bible several places to show him. And you ought to have verses in your pocket as well. So let me just tell you this real quick. And I may be saying something you already know, but you know repetition's good. Pastor says this all the time about repetition being really good for us. Theological glue, he says. So I know the first time that I really went out on soul-winning visitation when I was starting to really get serious about living my life for the Lord after college. And I went out to visit for the bus ministry at the church I was going to. And I remember thinking, man, I had better know what to say when somebody asked me about how to be saved, or if I get in a conversation and we actually get to the place where I can give them the gospel. I mean, you could give it to them simply and say some things without going to the Bible. And I learned actually from that experience working on those buses, you'll want to have scriptures ready to show them. Because better for you to show them than to take your word, correct? So here's what I did. I got one of those Curtis Hudson, How to Know for Sure You're Going to Heaven. Y'all seen those? Little blue tract that the Sword of the Lord put out for years. Maybe they've changed the color now, but How to Know, I think that's what the title was. How to Know for Sure You're Going to Heaven. And I took that out and I opened it up, and I realized in that tract, the verses, he had four verses in there, if I remember right. Romans 5:8. Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9-10, Romans 10:13. So five verses altogether, four different passages. And I remember looking at those verses saying, I memorized those when I was a kid. I know those verses. And then I thought, if I know those verses, I can give somebody the gospel. And it really is that simple. It's that simple. Now, if you take a track, now we had a fellow here a couple years ago. I remember him telling the story. He got saved, knew nothing about witnessing, but he had some chick tracks. So he got into a conversation with someone, had a chick track, so he took that chick track out, opened it up, and read the chick track to the person that he was witnessing to. And just flipped through it and read it. He didn't really know what else to do. And the girl got saved as a result of that. That's not because of him. And he was telling me the story because it's not us that saves anybody. It's the power of God's Word that actually gets in the heart of somebody to save them. So I think that's pretty neat. You can go with the track. You can read the track. You can hand the track out and maybe say, hey, can I show you some things here? There's all kinds of things you can do. But bottom line is, we need to be ready to give Bible answers when people ask us, ready to give the gospel, ready to live for the Lord. So there's point number one. Get ready to be used by God. Okay, next one here. Let's go over to your Old Testament again. Go to Amos. Amos. The next point here is get ready for eternity. Number two, get ready for eternity. Did you find Amos yet? I'm kind of struggling here myself. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and then Amos. Go to chapter 4 of Amos. Amos chapter 4. Go down there to verse 12 towards the end of that chapter. Now I realize the context here is Israel, but oh, he says something here that I think can hit home with anybody in any dispensation. Look at verse 12. 4:12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. So what was he telling them there? He's saying, you need to get ready for eternity. Now, I don't know, and you don't know when your last day here is. Brother Mac, and the pastor brought him up tonight. Brother Mac, you know, he sat right back there for a long, long time. I know that, I don't know if it was the last time I spoke with him, but in the last probably three times I spoke with him. I said, "How you doing?" And he said, "I'm tired," or "I'm not feeling so great." And then you keep having a little conversation with him, and he would say something like this. I'm not exactly getting this right, but he would say something like this. "I'm ready." And what he was saying is, he's ready to meet the Lord. And what a peace a person has when they're ready to meet the Lord. Amen to that? Now that's a fellow that's lived a full life. And he's probably really tired and weary, and the body's breaking down. And that's one reason why he's saying that. Another reason why he's saying that is because he's saved. He believes. He's got 100% confidence in God's Word being true. And that because he's trusted Jesus Christ, he could tell you the story about getting saved. Because he's trusted Jesus Christ, he's 100% certain where he will be the very second he breathes his last breath down here. Hallelujah to that. Now, are you ready for that? I know, we're all alive today. And everybody in here, we don't enjoy talking about our last day and our last breath. None of us do. And by the way, the older folks aren't necessarily going to pass away before us younger folks. That's not the case. I say us, thinking I'm young. I'm not young anymore. But anyway, but we don't have guaranteed time, me being in my 40s, and however old you are, 60, 50, 60, 70, doesn't matter. We don't have any guaranteed timetable. So you need to be ready for what's on the other side of death's door. Now, what is on the other side of death's door? You know your Bible enough. You know that there's heaven and there's hell, and that's it. And no alternatives. It's those two. You know that nobody goes to heaven because they're good. Nobody. If that's the case, we're all in trouble, right? None of us are good. Anybody who gets into heaven gets so because of the grace and mercy of God and because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding they have no merit of their own to earn heaven. We never could do it on our own, but He paid the price for our sins to wash those away so that we can appear righteous before God and have a place in heaven. Amen to that? So, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready for eternity? Now, let me show you something. The Lord is ready for a couple of things. I thought this was neat. Go to Nehemiah. Concerning souls being saved, go to Nehemiah chapter 9. A little nugget of a verse here in the book of Nehemiah. Concerning souls being saved, the Lord is ready to do some things. So I'll give you two here. Two things that the Lord is ready to do, and He's actually just waiting on people. But the Lord is always ready to do two things. I'll show you the first one here. Go down to Nehemiah 9. Look at verse 9:16. Talking about a little history of Israel here. He mentions Moses back there in verse 14. And heading to the promised land there in verse 15. And then 16 he says this. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments. Now, before I read this next verse, is verse 16 the case with a lot of folks in our world today? Hard-hearted, don't care what God said, dealing proudly. What would you say? Isn't that neat how, I know again it's an Old Testament passage and it's talking about something with Israel, but that verse 16 tells you exactly how a lot of people are today, doesn't it? Now, with that in mind, look at verse 17 and look what the Lord is ready to do. Look at verse 17. And refuse to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their necks and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. So what a bunch of scoundrels they were. Then look at the next word. But thou, speaking of the Lord, thou art a God ready to pardon. Amen to that. Ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. That's a good verse right there. Hey, the Lord is ready to pardon anybody who will come to Him through Jesus Christ. Is there anybody He would turn down? No. The Lord is waiting and ready to pardon. I think that's pretty neat. Now, put this other verse along with that one. Go to Psalm 86. What else is the Lord ready to do? Pardon. And watch this one. This is neat. The Lord is ready for people to come to Him. Psalm 86. Go down there to verse 5. Psalm 86, 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to... Amen to that. Ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. Notice the condition. Unto all that call upon thee. Once again, the Lord's not going to turn anybody down. And it doesn't matter. I'll just tell you, if you call me at 2 in the morning, I'm not answering. I'm not answering the phone. I'm asleep. Wouldn't be a very good conversation. If you call on the Lord at 2 a.m. or 2 p.m. or 4 a.m. or 4 p.m., it doesn't matter when. You call on the Lord, He's waiting, and two things we saw. Ready to pardon, ready to forgive. Isn't that something? You wake up in the middle of the night, you got something on your heart, you're worried about something, got a little anxiety. It doesn't matter what time it is. You can call on the Lord, can't you? You may not be able to call on close friends of yours, or me or the pastor, because we're asleep. Not going to be much help to you, but you can call on the Lord, and He'll help you every time. Amen to that. Lord never slumbers or sleeps, says over here, I think somewhere in the Psalms it says that. So the Lord's ready to pardon and ready to forgive. So I know that I'm talking to probably a lot of safe folks here. So I'm asking you if you're ready for eternity. If not, you need to get ready for eternity because the Lord's waiting and ready. Don't be like this fella. I think pastor's made reference to this fella before. A little poem written about him a long time ago. A guy named Solomon Grundy. You ever hear about him? It really shows you how short life is, this guy's life. And again, it's not for real, but it's something that is very profound. Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday, saved on a Tuesday, married on a Wednesday, took ill on Thursday, grew worse on Friday, died on Saturday, buried on Sunday. That was the end of Solomon Grundy. Now, why do I read that? How long is your life? Hey, all of us up here are over the age of 40. I think I can safely say that. Probably all of us getting close to, if not already, 50 and above. Hey, so has God already given you a lot of time? Already. I'm talking about past. He gave you a lot of time, right? Thank God for that. Amen. You had a lot of time. How much longer you got? Man, I don't know. I saw my mom and dad last night. My mom turned 76 yesterday. She was telling me she went to the doctor on Monday, and the doctor said she's doing really good health-wise. I praise the Lord for that, the fact that I was able to have dinner with them, and they're doing really well. I don't know how much longer I will have, me personally, to go see them. And that's my life. I don't know how long I got, and I don't know how long they got. So I tell you this because two reasons. Number one, if you know people that don't know Jesus Christ, your time to tell them might be shorter than their time. And then their time could be shorter than the time you got. So in either scenario, what's the best thing to do? If you know folks that aren't saved, you've got to tell them soon. Got to be ready to tell them how to be saved. So next thing here, be ready for eternity. Get ready for eternity. Here's the last one here. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. If you're ready for eternity, get as many people that you know ready for eternity. Tell them the truth, what God said, what the Lord Jesus Christ did for them. Hebrews chapter 9. Last one here. Now, if you're saved, we all would love to be that generation that never dies. Amen? That means the rapture happens and we never see death. Man, it's funny talking to my dad all these years. We've been talking, going back and forth many years, talking about the rapture and some of the ins and outs of the rapture. And my dad, of course, as a younger man, would say, yeah, I think it's going to happen probably maybe 2000, maybe a little after that. A lot of folks thought that. And I remember saying that. And 2000 came and went. So now he's older. And he's thinking, man, I still want to be a part of that generation of people that never dies. And he still may have a shot to do that. We all, Lord willing, have a shot to do that. Bottom line is, we don't know. We don't know when the rapture is. But let me just tell you, when the rapture happens, sometime after the rapture, and I'm not theologically smart enough to figure out when, how long after the rapture, but sometime after the rapture, there's a major event that you need to be ready for that will take place. Anybody want to guess what I'm talking about? major event that takes place sometime after the rapture. Maybe soon after the rapture, maybe not quite so soon. Anybody know what that is? There you go, Brother Phil. The judgment seat of Christ. So get ready. Here's the last point. Get ready to be judged by the Lord. So either the rapture happens. Hey, we don't have to ever face death. Amen to that. Meet the Lord in the air. And then sometime after that is the judgment seat of Christ. All right. Well, let's say you pass away. You die before the rapture. Again, sometime after the rapture will be judgment seat of Christ. Now, I know that this is not spoken of in a lot of places. I have heard, in the years I've been here, I've heard more on the judgment seat of Christ. And you could take just probably a year's worth of sermons here, and you'll hear more about the judgment seat of Christ than you will in most churches in 10 years. People don't talk about it. And it should be talked about, because shouldn't us saved people be ready to stand before the Lord? It's not a heaven and hell thing either. It's not like the Lord says, oh, you didn't make it. Not that at all. I'm glad for that. It is a judgment of what did you do for the Lord? What did you do with the gifts and abilities He gave you, the talents and abilities He gave you? So look at Hebrews 9. Look at verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this what? The judgment. All right? So let me give you a few verses here on judgment. Go to 1 Peter. Just a couple more verses here, and we'll finish up. 1 Peter chapter 4. Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter. Get ready to be judged by the Lord. Again, judgment seat of Christ not determining if you go to heaven or hell, but will reveal what you've done for the Lord or what you didn't do for the Lord in your life. Look at verse 1 Peter 4:5. Look back up to verse 4. We get a little bit of context here. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account. It's talking about saved folks, shall give account to Him that is ready to what? Judge the quick and the dead. So, who's the judge? Yeah, the Lord God Almighty is the judge. And who knows more about you than you? The Lord does. So, there won't be any secrets. I know that growing up, my sister and I would sometimes do some things that, oh, mom and dad will never find out. And you know what's interesting about that? Sometimes a lot of time would pass and they would never find out. And then in time, they figured it out. Ever happened to y'all? It seemed like they always know. Pastor and Miss Linda like that, right? They always figure it out. They always know something's going on. And the Lord is actually far better at knowing what we're doing than mom and dad or anybody else. You don't get any secrets past Him. You can sneak them past a teacher or a boss or a parent, but you don't sneak them past the Lord. So go over to 2 Corinthians and more on this thing about the judgment seat of Christ and what happens there. I'm just going to give you the very short, condensed version of this as far as what happens at the judgment seat of Christ. I do know that all saved people will be judged at this judgment, only saved people. And this verse is really good on giving you some good info on the judgment seat of Christ. It says here, verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, I'm going to read verse 11 in a minute, but just a couple things about that verse. Save people at this judgment, judged on things done in your body. I don't know if you've ever considered your body like I'm going to describe, but your body, my body, is really just a means of going about business down here on earth, isn't it? It's what God's given us as a body, to walk, to talk, all those things that we do down here. It's a vessel that is given us the ability to do things down here. So in a body, you can do things. In a body down here on earth, you can do things for the Lord. When your body goes in the ground, folks, we can't do anything more for the Lord. It's over. That's it. Can't go back and say, oh, I want to do this, got to fix that. Too late. So it's things done in the body. And then it says, look at the end of verse 10, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, I'm not going to take you to 1 Corinthians 3, but you find out in 1 Corinthians 3 that our works are tried by fire. And you've got six different things. You've got the good things: gold, silver, precious stones. Things that can remain after your works go through the fire that are good. Then you got wood, hay, and stubble. Things that would burn at different, take longer for one to burn than the other, but all three of them, wood, hay, stubble, all of them are going to burn up, right? So once they go through the fire, there's nothing left. Gold, silver, precious stones go through the fire, you got something left there. So what do you want to have? What should be our goal to have at the judgment seat of Christ to give to the Lord? Gold, silver, precious stones. Now, without going into detail on all those things, I'll just tell you this. Live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ according to His Word, and you will have gold, silver, precious stones. That's it, right there. I think you can make a case for gold having a whole lot to do with the motives why you do things. Take out the letter L from gold, and what do you got? G-O-D, God. Doing things for the Lord, not caring what anybody else thinks. Silver, oftentimes in your Bible, has to do with the Scriptures themselves. The words of the Lord are pure words, Psalm 12. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So when you take God's Word, you believe it, and you apply it, I think that could be some silver. The precious stones seem to indicate things that you do as far as investing in people. Because stones in your Bible oftentimes are connected with people. And precious stones, that would be folks that you have either led to the Lord, discipled, influenced in some way, shape, or form for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the short. Bottom line is this. Spend your time living for the Lord, and you will have something that you can present to the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and not be ashamed. Because look at the next verse. Look at verse 11. Right after he tells you about the judgment seat, he's not talking about hell here. He tells you about the judgment seat in verse 10. Then verse 11. Knowing therefore the what? Terror of the Lord. We persuade men, but are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Isn't that interesting? The context is not salvation. The context is judgment seat of Christ. And he mentions the first part of verse 11, the terror of the Lord. And that's associated with a person standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Because can you imagine seeing all that you have done go through fire, the Lord knowing your motive for everything you did, and the terror that could come over us knowing, uh-oh, I am exposed. That would be the case if you didn't live your life for the Lord. All these things you spent your time on, just a waste. And a terrifying thought at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you don't have to worry about going to hell. Over 1 Corinthians 3, it says that He Himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you're not going to hell. But at the same time, knowing that the Lord knows everything and He'll judge every one of your motives, we can fake each other out with doing things, right? And it can look like I'm doing things for the Lord when I'm really doing it because I want to look good. You're not faking the Lord out at all, are you? You can't fool Him on those things. He knows every little motive for everything you do. All right, let's wrap up here. Go to 2 Timothy 4. So we've been talking about the Apostle Paul here, and if there was a fella that was ready at all times to live his life for the Lord after he got saved, and ready to enter into eternity, and ready to stand before the Lord, Paul's the guy. Now, you read about his life, and you read about all the things he did, and you understand that he had good reason to be ready. He had lived a life where he really felt that he did everything he could for the Lord. And I think that's a great place to be right before you pass into eternity. So look at verse 5, 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. He says here, he's telling Timothy, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." He tells him that, kind of giving him some instruction. Then he talks about himself in verse 6. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Now, where was Paul going? He knew that it was about time to meet the Lord. And I don't think he knew necessarily, I don't know if he knew the exact time, or maybe the Lord revealed to him, hey, this is your last time to write something. And then that's it. I don't know that. But he says there, regardless, he was ready to be offered, and the time of his departure is at hand. Look at verse 7. What a great thing to be able to say at the end of your days. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Good statement right there. I'll just end with this. You've been engaged in the fight. The fight for the truth. The fight against flesh. The fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. That's the best fight to be engaged in. Have you been on the course that God wants you to so that you can actually finish the course? If you're not on the course, you can't finish it. Kind of like if you ever ran a race, like a 5K or 10K. You can't finish the race if you never go to the course and run the race. So you've got to be on the course to finish the course. So I ask you, are you on the course and ready to get to the finish line? And then the last thing he says there, I have kept the faith. And a good thing to just to take an inventory of on a regular basis is, hey, how's my faith doing? Am I having more doubts than faith in the Lord and what He's doing right now? And a good remedy for doubts is God's Word. Just spend a little more time in here. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You spend more time in the Word of God, your faith will increase. So, are you ready? If you're not ready, get ready. Have you ever been in a class? I know some of you, this has been a while, but you can think back. You've been in a class, the teacher announced the day of the test, and you didn't study for the test. Been there, done that. You don't have to raise your hand. I know you've been there, done that. Most likely. Somewhere along the way. How did that feel when you had to take the test? Ever try to cram? Try to cram for a test? Oh, let me get my book out. Try to get all this real fast before I take the test. Hey, at the judgment seat of Christ, you can't cram. It's all over. It's done. But that is a test of what you've done for the Lord. And the best way to be ready for a test or anything is to prepare. A quote I often use with the kids at school with athletes is, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. And to stand before the Lord saying, Lord, I did everything I could, and have something to present to Him, gold, silver, precious stones, make sure that we're ready. So I hope that helped you a little bit here in your walk with the Lord. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your words, and I just pray that we would take the things to heart that we looked at tonight. I know every one of us knows folks that are right now at this very, very moment without Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for a couple things. I pray, number one, for opportunity to talk to them soon, and I pray that you would embolden us to say what needs to be said, even if it's unpopular to them or doesn't seem quite right to them. I just pray we'd be bold to say it. And I pray that here in our church, you use folks here on an everyday basis to give out the truth and to be unashamed of it and to live our lives ready to enter into eternity, ready to stand before you, and just ready on a daily basis to live our lives for you. And we ask all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.